Hello, my name is Kevin Palmer, and I'm conducting an interview for my oral histories project on the importance of bookstores. And I am here with my interviewee, so let us begin. Could you please state your name, date of birth, where you live, and your occupation?
My name is Robert P. Palmer. My age is 57 years age, and I live in Ashburn, Virginia. Right now I'm retired, but for 13 years I was an Army intelligence officer, and then for the remaining 31 years that I worked in the intelligence field for the U.S. government.
And can you state for the record that you have signed the consent forms allowing me to publish this interview? You can just say yes.
Yes, I have signed about three pieces of paper at least and a bunch of initials, but gladly did so.
Alrighty. In the Army, what locations did you live in?
While I was in the Army, sort of all over the place, but did training at Fort Leonard Wood. I did my basic infantry training at good old Fort Polk. I then got my commission by doing my OCS training at Fort Belvoir in Virginia here, Northern Virginia, very close by. And after that, they sent me to intelligence school at Fort Holabird, which was then in Baltimore, Maryland. I think Holabird has been taken over by them civilians by now. And then they sent me to Fort Bliss. There's a misnomer, Fort Bliss, Arizona, for some Vietnamese language training. And then, of course, right after that, I was in Vietnam after an interesting tour there. I returned to the United States and was working in Charlottesville, where I did some intelligence work there. And then they sent me to Germany, and then from Germany they sent me back to Washington, D.C. again. And then after that, I got out of the Army and then got into the civilian employee in 1982 and continued that until 2013.
Well, that sounds like a very long and interesting career.
You bet.
Back to the topic, though. Would you consider yourself an avid reader?
Yes, I think so. Probably more so than most people, yes. Yeah.
When did you start buying books, and what type of books did you buy?
I probably bought a book or two, but probably I really started buying books after I was commissioned. And then in that way, I wasn't running around in different locations. I had the money to spend waste or spend on books. And more important than that, because you're moving around a lot, had a place to store the books, so the question of both. So that's kind of where I stopped, started, and but the constant movement made the purchase of books and keeping them for very long. Always have to leave them with the parents for a while.
I remember earlier you were talking about an interesting story that you had while you were serving in Vietnam. Let's just start off. Where did you serve in Vietnam, and can you explain that interesting story to the listeners?
Well, I was up in the northernmost province of South Vietnam in 1972. It's called Quang Tri Province, and I actually lost a couple of books that I did have, a few that I did have, when the North Vietnamese ran us out of that province. They essentially told us that we better leave, and they sent the invitation cards with artillery shells. Actually, the books weren't such a bad deal. Actually, the stuff that I really treasure that got lost and blown up or maybe looted, who knows, was not a whole lot, but some rather valuable, to me anyway, valuable stereo equipment.
When you were in Vietnam, were there English bookstores you could go to on base, or
Not really.
did they cater at all to the
No.
American soldiers,
Well,
or?
there a couple in Saigon, which were way far away. I remember they did have some books. I don't remember buying them, and I didn't even think of it at the time because it was, whatever you could carry on your back, and a big heavy book was not what I wanted to do.
So I guess when you were in more Western areas of the world, when you were in the army, where did you buy books?
Actually, the various PX systems.
Could you explain what a PX is to?
It stands for post exchange. It's a place that the militaries have set up so that you can buy some materials, limited selection, buy some materials at a cheaper price, and it's one of the benefits of being in the military, as is the commissary. And the books that you could buy there, limited scope, of course. It was close, you know, if you're going to do your commissary shopping anyway or get something else, they were there. And they tended to be a little bit cheaper. I was also stationed a little bit for a year, I guess it was. Or was it two? Maybe two. In Charlottesville, Virginia. And I bought books there. I can't remember exactly which bookstores, but I know I did buy some. Maybe it was some of the big bookstores at that time. DC, at least on two occasions in that area, I was really introduced for the first time to Barnes & Noble and Borders books. I think they showed up, for me, maybe 1975 at Tyson's Corner. And that was real, I thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Because you could go in there and review all the books they had, and they had a lot. And then choose what you wanted, and then go and then buy the books. It was, you know, a perfect opportunity to see what was there, and also to a good selection and buy the books. And for me, also, one of the things I would do is if I didn't buy a book, I'd go in there and buy some of the various select magazines and either read them there or bring them home. But then Borders books and Barnes & Noble, about the same, but Borders books were closer to me, and that's where I used them. That was probably the point where I really started, you know, focusing and buying books. History books, military history books, for the most part, really.
I guess to give the listeners a good understanding of what kind of reader you are, about how many books do you think you've purchased in your lifetime? 100, 1,000, 10,000?
Probably a couple hundred. I also have a father who's I've borrowed and used a lot of his books, so I do have more books than 200 books here in my house. But he was even a greater book buyer, and I've been able to steal them from him, and that's what I did, and he was glad of it. So that was good. And I have to say, even when I was here in the D.C. area, Northern Virginia is where I ended up most cases, I didn't often go into Washington, D.C. I knew there were some other, quote, famous bookshops in there, but it was really just too far away. Even when they started building highways, better highways, faster highways, even with the metro going in, it was just a place that was too far away. And good old Borders met my needs quite well, supplemented by some trips to PX's and to get books.
When you shopped at Borders, Barnes & Nobles, or any of those big chain bookstores that we all know so well, did you ever use the clerks for assistance to, you know, perk your interest in a book? Or
No, the only time I wouldn't go to clerks and say, hey, I'm interested in military history. No, I wouldn't do that. The only time I'd really use a clerk, I said, I've got a book that here's the title, here's the author, and I can't find it, and then they'd go find it for me. Or I've got a book, I'm buying this for my sister, here's the title, you know, during Christmas. A lot of times they could get to the book faster than me looking at it, but I didn't really find that the clerks were that educated or, you know, could really inform me about which books were good and which books were bad. But what Borders had, you could go there and you could spend a good half hour just kind of looking at what might be new, and then grab something, look at it a little bit, and say, well, I want this, and then put it in then go on to the next thing.
What year did you retire from the Army?
I retired in 1982.
And what were your book buying habits? What did you do after you retired from the Army?
I was working for the U.S. government in the intelligence field.
Okay, and then what sort of places did you live after you retired from the Army?
I lived a little, again, back to Northern Virginia. Then after I got married, I lived in Maryland, in Columbia, Maryland. Then I lived there for a while. Had two sons. And then we had a nice little two or three-year assignment to Hawaii. and then back to Northern Virginia again.
And back to the other question, what were your book buying habits after leaving the Army?
Pretty much the same. I had a larger house, and I said I bought more books because, you know, quite frankly, I had the finances, and I had the time, and I knew that I wouldn't be moving again, and, you know, that I could actually not have to pay for extra books that would have to be moved from one location to the other.
And in these new places you lived in Northern Virginia, Hawaii, and Maryland, where did you buy your books? Was it Borders again?
Once again, good old Borders, and they had them in sort of all locations. The primary one, even when I was living in Maryland, was in Tyson's. I believe there was a Borders in Maryland that we used to go to as well. I just can't bring it to mind, but I'm sure they wouldn't have missed. Big planned community like Columbia would have a Borders books around.
So I guess the new trend that a lot of Americans are doing is buying books through the internet. When did you first realize you could do this?
I did that, really the first couple of times I did it was in Hawaii, and I wasn't buying for myself, but it was a book that I needed to get for somebody else, and I could get a book, hard to get books in Hawaii, and get them that way. And I never got into the habit of going into Borders and saying, oh, here's some great books. Ah, they cost $5 too much. I'll go to Amazon.com. I always went into Borders, saw the book that I want, grabbed it, and went off. The only time that I would, every once in a while, if I heard about a good book and I couldn't find it in Borders, then I might get online and do Amazon.com. And I did also a little, some Kindle stuff too, a little bit for myself. But even that, I was primarily getting books, buying books, usually for about $10. Older books that I'd read before, I just wanted to read them again, and it was convenient. The convenience of Kindle is that, you know, you can almost put it in your pocket, and if you're traveling.
All right, sorry about that. There's a slight interruption. I guess that's one of the things you deal with when recording off your phone. But I guess back to
Kindle.
Kindle, yes.
Yeah. I find that very convenient. You know, you can read Kindle at night and not disturb your partner. You can carry it around, and especially as I'm traveling, did some traveling in Europe and other locations. You don't want to be carrying a big heavy book. It's a lot easier to carry carry Kindle. And I have to admit that when I saw that's when I used Amazon.com. Actually, I'm kind of disappointed that Borders, since they went out of business around here, I had a place that was about 2 miles away, because it allowed me to review books and say, oh, that, I don't want that one. Oh, that's a good one. You know, that's where the books were presented to me. Presumably, must be some mechanism to do that on the internet. I haven't seen it. Hasn't come to me. But my book buying has sort of gone down a little bit because those kind of books aren't being presented to me as I walk into Borders or some other bookstore. So
would you consider the Kindle, even though it's not in the physical realm, to be a bookstore of the digital, of nonetheless a bookstore though?
Yeah, it's a good tool for reading. The only thing I don't like about Kindle is that I find it a little clumsy to use. That may be me, but also with a lot of the kind of stuff that I read, you're looking at maps and you're looking at pictures and diagrams. It's a little hard to handle those kind of things, at least with the Kindle that I use. And I think it loses something with the book. And also your ability to kind of go back and forth easily, you know, to what did he say back then? You can't do that quite as easy with Kindle. It has its uses. Still would rather buy the book.
Okay, so with all the bookstores that you've purchased from, whether it was in the Army, moving around with your family, which bookstore did you have the most experience with? Or to put it another way, where did you purchase the greatest quantities of books from?
I'd definitely say it's Borders.
Which Borders? Which
well,
the location?
The Borders here in Tyson's Corner. Actually, across from Tyson's Corner, but it's called Borders, Tyson's Corner. Oh, it's been out of business now for, 3 or 4 years.
Back to the Kindle and the Amazon.com. How has the purchasing of books on the internet affected your book buying experience, per se?
I mean, without having without being able to go somewhere and look at a bunch of new books and say, oh, I want that and that one. On the internet, I guess I have purchased fewer. Only the ones that have been someone has told me about. Well, I'll go to Kindle and then I'll read those. A little hard to say, but I probably have been purchasing the last 3 years, maybe fewer books, just because I haven't been tempted when I go into some place like Barnes & Noble or Borders, and then so my amount of purchasing I've done has dropped, even with a few more Kindles coming in there, not too many.
Do you think with, you know, increases in technology, you know, the experience of buying a book online will ever rival that of going into Borders and, you know, being able to touch it, feel it, skim through the pages?
Well, you never know what technology will do, but that was, you know, one of the real benefits. You could go in and look. I mean, they've got things like that I've seen them where you can actually turn the pages. But it's a little more difficult because you can't, your eyes can look at, you know, a set of 20 or 30 books on a shelf real quick and focus in based on the title or someone's name or something like that. I think that there's still a place for books with pages, if you will. It may be that technology proves me wrong and they come up with something that you can handle a book and turn pages and see photographs and see diagrams and see maps to the degree that you can with a regular book. But so far, that's not the case. I think that Kindle is particularly good for novels where you don't have to worry about pictures or diagrams or knowing where you are. I could see how that would be, that seems to fit the internet mode more than if you're looking at military or even history books where you want to see pictures and diagrams and flip back and forth so you can remember who the various personalities or locations were.
Was there ever a mom and pop bookstore, not like a big chain obviously, but a small locally owned bookstore through your whole life that piqued your interest or you visited frequently?
I should, maybe if my memory's going, but I can't remember any of the various locations where I have lived where there was like a specialty bookstore. I always thought those kind of things, you could find them in big towns like New York or Washington, D.C., San Francisco and such. I don't think there was ever a mom and pop type of small store that I ever frequented that often.
Do you think big places like Borders and Barnes & Nobles, you know, ran those kind of places out of town?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think what it is there probably are some specialty stores that find a niche and that way they survive. But Borders and at least in their time, Borders and Barnes & Nobles, Dalton Books, I guess, could present so many different books right there where people have. You didn't have to wait, oh, we don't have it, sir, you'll have to order it for us, or even however skilled the guy might be, you know, you could get it. And that meant that the small bookstores couldn't be selling, you know, the popular stuff because people would go to the big stores to get that. And I suspect a lot of small little bookstores, you know, sort of got run out of business because they just could not compete with Barnes & Noble and Borders and those guys. In a way, of course, that's very similar to now the big stores, Barnes & Nobles, all of them kind of got run out of town by the internet, because I think what people did is they would go to like a big store like Borders and they'd see all the books they'd want, write down the name and title, and then be able to get it for $5 less in a couple of days via Amazon.com or one of the other buyers on internet. So I guess, the big bookstores for a while, they were running the little stores out of business, and now the big stores are getting run out of business by the internet, I guess, because it will be interesting to see what the next phase in this battle of the bookstores is.
So you were saying earlier that the clerks usually offered little or no help. Why then do you see the closing of borders as a bad thing? Doesn't the internet age make it more convenient, or was it physical factor?
What I would do, I go to borders if I was interested in the Civil War. I would go to the Civil War section and I'd have 3 or 4 different bookshelves, 10 feet tall, that had all these titles. Sometimes they'd be helpful and they'd put them out in front. But then I could look through them very rapidly and see if there's any that, I could spend a half hour doing it or less. If there's any new books or any books that I hadn't seen before that were of interest to me, I didn't need the help of a clerk to say, I've got a great book for you, because he wouldn't know what my interests were, even if he was a really smart guy. I think mainly the clerks were there to do what clerks do, And the only area where I really found them useful is if I had the exact name and title of the book, or I had the exact author of the book, then they, because they knew their bookstore better, could go to the location where the book is and instantly get it. Where I would have to go, spend 5 minutes or so browsing and eventually find it or not find it at all. So, the value to me of the big bookstores was I could stand there, look at the 3 or 4 shelves worth of stuff that I was interested in, maybe in military history, look through them all. Oh, there's 2 that I want. And then I go over to the history section and there's another one I want. And, maybe even go somewhere else, a sports section, and pick something up. But the books were all in front of me. That was my way of getting a quick review of what was there, what might be of interest.
Well, I believe that will conclude our interview. I want to thank you for your time, Mr. Palmer.
You're welcome.
It was a pleasure interviewing you.